Thank you this morning, a new week that, Lord, you have given to us, and Hallelujah. A new day. Amen. And even as we come to your presence, Lord, oh, yes, we are lifting that name, the name Jehovah, the name Jesus. We thank you, the Lord Jesus, through grace, oh, mercies, Lord, you have given to us from our various homes, far and near, and now here, Lord, we together in your presence, Lord. Father, we want to commit today's service into your hands. From the Sunday schools, from our children, and we the adults here, Lord, prepare us for Amen. The day with something that, to God, will draw our attention towards, Lord Jesus, your word that we will receive today. So, Lord, let the Holy Spirit now, the author of the word, come take the word this morning.
Glory.
And prepare us, Lord, for the day. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God richly bless you. As you are standing, let's turn to the reading of the Master's book.
Glory.
Amen. The book of life.
Amen.
And we are still on our studies on the seven church ages. We are on the first church age, the Ephesus, Ephesian church age. So we shall turn to Revelation 2, and we will read the first three verses, because that's where we are now, the first three verses. So let's hear the word of God. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. For my name's sake, you have labored and you have not fainted. Oh Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Oh Lord, we want also to labor without fainting, oh God. So Lord, let the Holy Spirit help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we be seated? God richly bless you. So from the scripture we've just read, we see that the prophet has subtitled them in this way. In the first place, he spoke about the identification of who was speaking to the church of Ephesus. And so that's where in verse 1, he said, "These things saith he that holdeth." So that's the way how Jesus identified himself to the church of Ephesus. "These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks." That's the way how he introduced himself to the Ephesian church. Amen. And then, in the beginning, you say that he said, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus." And so, the next subtitle is what? The messenger. Who is the messenger to the Ephesian church? And then the third one is, you see how he was praising his church. So that's the way how the prophet also titled that one, that Christ praises his own. So first, who was speaking? How he identified himself to the church? Every church age, we will come to that. That identification, how he identifies himself to a particular church age, and then the messenger, and then the praises come. If we had to follow, you will see that the next will be what? Complaints. And then the next will be what? Warning. The next will be those who will be able to overcome what they will receive. Praise the Lord. So that's the way, the sequence, how it follows. So today we are on God, how Jesus praises his own. Because we have, for the messenger, as I said the other time, it will be coming on and on and on. So that's the first messenger of the church age. So the prophet said, praising his own, the prophet said, "How beautifully the Savior praises and commends his children. He takes full account of their fine spiritual attitudes and behavior." My brother, anything good we do, the Lord is taking notice of them. Praise the Lord. Our labor, our service, everything, he's taking. He takes full account of their fine spiritual world, attitudes and behavior. And he knows how, listen closely here, he said he knows how to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us in the wrong matters. Now, he said, we could all learn a good lesson right here in running the church. Hallelujah. And our families. Parents, good things, praise your children. The wrong things, correct them. Amen. He said, we could learn a good lesson right here in running the church. Praise the Lord. Sometimes from here, the Holy Spirit may lead the pastor to what? To lash out. It's not him. It's because something is going on. It's the Holy Spirit. And if it comes to you, you go to what? Just raise your hand, Lord, forgive me and help me. Praise the Lord. And better still, we could all learn a good lesson in that God deals with each one of us in exactly this way. So apart from the church, he deals individually with us. So sometimes you see that things are not going well, maybe whatever form that it will come, my brother, my sister, do all that look unto him. And if you know also that you've done something wrong, go to him, ask for forgiveness. Don't ever be discouraged, saints of God, for God is not ungracious to forget your labor of love. Whatever we do, even giving a cup of cold water to someone has a reward and a blessing from the Lord. Let's do good. Let's love one another. Let's help one another. Amen. And so, he gave an example like what? The widow of Zarephath. He was saying that giving a cup of cold water to someone has a reward and a blessing from the Lord. So we see a type of what? The widow of Zarephath. We all know about what actually happened. For 3 years there was what? Complete drought. And we know how this woman had only the last meal for herself and her little what? Child. And how someone came and asked for what? Water. But what happened? The woman of Zarephath, as you can get in 1 Kings 17, 10 to 16, she was willing to give not only a cup of water, but even to give a portion of the little bread, the last meal she had. And what happened? The blessings. And what happened? The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God which he spake by Elijah. See the reward. Whilst other homes, they were probably without even water, no food. She was willing to what? Give. When the prophet said, Elijah said, you are going to bring, she was going to bring the water and said, when you come in your other hand, bring me what? A piece of bread. Oh my. You see, the prophet said here, he said, whatever we do, even giving a cup of cold water to someone has a reward and a blessing from what? The Lord. Let's look at another woman also here. The Bible calls him a great woman. See. He said, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as often as he passed by, he turned in theater to eat bread. Then listen to the woman asking the husband. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this man is a holy man. He's a holy man of what? Of God. Which passeth by ours here continually. Let me see if probably the whole this thing didn't come. Let me read from here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the woman asked the husband, let us what? Prepare a place. Let's see if it is the next one. Yeah. Said, I pray thee, let's prepare a chamber, and I pray thee on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. My. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall what? Turn in thither. So now not only what? Bread every day that he passes in, but now the woman asked the husband, let us what? Prepare a place. A small place for him. With what? A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. Oh, praise the Lord. Real, a study room. Yes, so a little thing that we do, God knows it. Amen. So the prophet went on to say, as he walks, now listen closely here, as because he's walking right now in our midst, this morning he's here. And as he walks in the midst of his church, he is aware of the suffering of his people and he cares. You didn't say amen. Amen. He cares. He knows your suffering, my brother. He knows your suffering, my sister. He knows mine also. And he cares. As it was in the days of the captivity in Egypt when he heard their cries, he who never changes still hears the cries of the oppressed as he walks amongst them. He's the same. The same God that heard the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt is the same God, he said, he hears even still now. Now, let's look at the word labor. Because what we read, we saw that the Ephesian church, they really labored. He said, for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Now the prophet said, the very word labor signifies a weariness through oppression. They were really going through what? A kind of oppression. God's people do not only work for him in a labor of love, but they suffer for him with joy. Amen. Amen. They suffer. In our suffering, let us not what? Be dismayed. Amen. But rather rejoice that he knows. Because he said, I know thy works. Amen. They are patient in bearing the yoke. That's one virtue that's part of what? The stature of a perfect man. Patience. This first age suffered great persecution. It had to work hard to preach the gospel and shed forth the truth. Their high calling in life was to serve God. Their high calling, their motive, their aim, their love was to do what? To serve God. And when their hopes in life were blighted, oh my, blighted, they were patient and committed all to him. Praise the Lord. That word blighted there, as a because of the effect of something that you believe or something that you have taken upon yourself, but you go through what? Real persecution. See, they were blighted. They were patient and committed all to him who had promised a lasting recompense in heaven for what they had given up for him on earth, Oh, yes, sir. My brother, our suffering and labor will never be in vain. Oh, praise the Lord. It will never, ever be in vain. As the Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this time, praise the Lord, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be what? Revealed in us. They were patient. They were looking at the recompense of what the reward in heaven. That's why, as we believers, we don't store our treasures on earth here. We store our treasures in heaven. That's the place where there is no what moth or rust that will corrupt it. Or there are no thieves. Praise the Lord. And then in 1 Peter 1:4, I wrote this one down here. It said, what we will receive in heaven, the scripture says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's 1 Peter 1:4. Praise the Lord. These Ephesians believe that God's people ought to be holy according to be holy. According to this verse, they took steps to keep the body unleavened from sin. Amen. Ought to be holy. The holy here is what? The Holy Spirit in you. Because the other time we said there's only one man that's holy. That's the Lord Jesus. Our holiness is the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Most evidently, the apostasy had already started. Oh, my. Sin had entered into the church. Such a beautiful church. Now sin has entered in. You know, Apostle Paul, for a period of time, has to leave an Ephesian church, and that was the beginning. Satan said, we will come to that. You see how Satan comes into the church. Comes like a what? Something that not it looks as if it's not harmful. See, looks as if we can do it this way. Oh, my brother, no. There's no way, no other way. There's only one way. Amen. Most evidently, the apostasy had already started. Sin had entered into the church. But they were obedient to the word of Paul when he said, put away the wicked from amongst them. You see, in every age, no matter how darkness came over that church, there were still some that held the truth. There were some that still held the truth. Because the light of God can never completely dim or be put off. Amen. And where even there's complete darkness, a little light, that shows even what? Very clear. That's the period we are living in. Gross darkness. But there is that little light somewhere. And you are the lights of this world. They were a separated people. We are still talking about Ephesians. They had come out of the world, and now they weren't going to let the world enter amongst them. They would not put up with sin in the church. Holiness wasn't a phrase. Just trying to say, oh, I'm holy. No. Holiness wasn't a phrase with them or a figure of speech. It was a way of life. See? The life that you portray, that shows that, oh, yes, you have received the holiness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, let's look at 11. The prophet explained that as something that, a little leaven leaveneth what? The whole lump. And that's how the leaven started to come to the church also. But let's look at what the prophet is saying. He said, 11, anything that changes your attitude or influences your behavior. And then apostasy. Say abandonment of a belief or principle. So a person who abandons a belief or principle is called apostate. Apostate. So today, we can find many apostates in the fold. Some are self-acclaimed what? Prophets, archbishops, self-acclaimed or self-appointed. Or sometimes a long service, then we give you that appointment. Amen. And some true what? Academical laurels, you see. Yeah. He has what? DDD, Doctor of Divinity. So they make you archbishop. My brother, apostates. The true church will always try to be like what? The original Pentecost. And the messengers of the churches, having the same Spirit of God in them, will try to approximate Apostle Paul. They won't be exactly like him, but the true messengers will be the ones that come to the closest to Paul. We cannot be like Paul, but you see, we live according to his that way of life. Because he is the example. He's the example for all messengers. Who was free from all men and sold out to God, none else will do. See, you have to work from the original. That's what the prophet said. So let's move on if we have time. Quickly, let's see. So Apostle Paul's ministry, the prophet said it had three potentials. He said, first, Paul was absolutely true to the word and never deviated from it, no matter what the cost. That's something we got to learn. Every one of us, we are all messengers here. Amen. He was absolutely true to the word and never deviated from it. Secondly, the prophet said, his ministry was the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating what? The spoken and the written word. That's why Paul said, he said, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with what? Excellency of what? Speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Not that excellency of speech or wisdom. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of me, Paul. Amen. But what? The power of God. So, as the prophet was saying, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and the written word and nothing else. And then thirdly, he had the evident fruit of the God-given ministry. He had what? The evident fruit. Oh, this morning as we are seated here, my brother, we are also the evident of a God-given ministry of Malachi 4. Praise the Lord. We are also given what? Fruit. Evident fruit of a given ministry. Paul had it. And here, our last prophet messenger also, we are here as what? An evident of that fruit. I think I've missed something here. Okay. Now, we read something here about, he said, he said, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them to be liars. And the prophet said, my, that's a blunt statement. Amen. That has tried them who call themselves apostles. And how do they try them? He said, here it is in Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so that's what they were looking at. They were looking, see, Paul said, even if I come back again to tell you a second revelation, let me be accursed. And so if you come, you said you are an apostle, they will look at you and listen to you if you preach like Paul. That's the way how they were able to know that you are a true apostle or you are a false apostle. If you don't preach like Paul, if you come with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, say, hey, brother, no. This is not the pulpit for you. Amen. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change, not even a dot or dire of it. Paul knew it was God who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation, try to make one little change in what I gave originally, let me be accused. Nothing will change. You see, Paul knew the first revelation was correct, and God can't give a first revelation and then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. He can give a revelation and then add to it. No, sir, God will not do that. God's word can't change. Those Ephesians knew that word as Paul had taught it. They were full of the Holy Ghost by laying on Paul's hands. Paul baptized them and they have received the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing, you cannot turn their attention to anything else. The true ones who were in the Ephesian church. Amen. So they looked those false apostles in their eyes and said, when they've seen that you don't preach like Paul, they will tell you are not saying what Paul said. You are therefore false. It's straightforward, blunt. Oh, the prophet said, oh, that sets my heart on fire. Get back to the word. It is not you that really tries the apostles or the prophets or the teachers. It is the word that tries them. Because they ask you to do what? To preach. One of these days, there is going to come a prophet to the Laodicean church age. And you will know if he is the real one sent from God or not. Yes, you will. If he is of God, he will be in that word exactly as God gave it to Paul. Amen. This brought some controversy somewhere in Ghana. He said he's not the prophet because he says someone is coming. But look at all this. Look at what he has preached or what he has done. If it does not actually correspond to what? Malachi 4. Turning our hearts back to what? The apostolic fathers. You see. He won't deviate from that word for a moment. Not by one iota. No, sir. And that's what the prophet William Branham did. In that last age, when there will be many false prophets appearing, watch and see how they keep telling you that if you don't believe them and what they say, you will be lost. But when the last prophet comes on the scene, if he's truly that prophet, he will be crying out, go get back to the word, or you are lost. And the last one, that prophet, he won't build a private revelation or interpretation, but on the word. Amen and amen. So we thank the Lord for this subject on Christ praises his church. And he said it's a lesson for us to for building our church also and then our families. That we praise what is good and what is not good, let's what? Talk against it. Amen. Let us not push it under what? Under the carpet. It will get rusted. And it will give a very bad word, bad odor. So we thank the Lord. I think I've been here for long, so when I come back again, we will go on to the warning. The warning. Things that we go to what? Take notice of. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads? Our dear Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We give all glory to you. Yes, Lord, you have given us something to get us awakened. And now we want to praise your name, worship you, and lift up that name, Jesus. And as the song leader and the musicians come, oh God, Father, we pray thee that the Holy Spirit, yes, oh, will unction them, oh God. Oh, to raise, Lord, our spirits to this morning, that we will be able to lift up that name, Jesus. We commit all into your hands once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.